Hello and welcome to the Industry Leaders Podcast, where we talk to the leaders of some of the most exciting direct and retail brands and hear the real stories behind their success, their challenges and their plans for the future. I'm Sarah Cole Boyle and this podcast is brought to you by More2, the marketing science people. Now, on the show with me today are the co-founders of The Secret Linen Store, who, aside from being the brains behind one of the most beautiful bedding and homeware brands I've come across, are also sisters. Molly Freshwater and Harriet Mears, welcome to the show. How are you both?
Good. Nice to meet you.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, listen, it's my pleasure. So you could just say who you are, just so the listeners know whose voice belongs to whom.
Hi, I'm Molly. Nice to meet you.
And I'm Harriet. Oh, we could have really confused things then, couldn't we? And thrown our voices or got each other to answer, but no.
Well, next time. So listen, I'm really, really genuinely delighted to have you on the show because you're actually one of those brands that I kind of have looked at for quite a long time and always been interested in. So I'm delighted to have you here. So could you tell us a little bit about where the brand came from? How was it born? Who came up with the idea? How did it happen?
Well, I've been making bed linen for a very, very long time now, about 25 years, maybe even more.
It was 25 years, 10 years ago.
Can't quite be, but yeah, it's getting on for 30 years. So in the beginning of my career, I made bed linen for retailers that I worked for in-house. And then I started a small agency where I was supplying the high street with bed linen under their own label. Harriet joined me in that business, which was brilliant. She had just had her children and decided that she would like to work part-time. So she came and worked for me. And we quite quickly realized that the business that I had, we weren't really in control of that. We were at the destiny of our suppliers and our customers. So we decided that we'd start a retail brand of our own. Talked a lot about different ideas and came back to the fact that we were experts in bed linen. Harriet had a background in marketing and we had actually worked together in different companies before that. And we thought, let's go for what we know best, what we can add most value to. I'm a textile designer, so I'm very passionate about fabrics. Harriet knew what to do with them and how to sell them. So we sat down, had some encouragement and found a factory that were willing to help us and off we went. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think it was 6 months from the idea to launch. It was very really? Quick.
Wow. Was that intentional or did it just kind of happen that way?
No, I think it was just after we decided to do it and the momentum started building and we got some money in. It was like, right, okay, quick, let's just make it happen. And I think, yeah, we just ran with it. And before we knew it, we were up and running. I don't really remember. It's all a bit of a blur.
I think also because it was something that we'd done before for other people, although it was our own business and it was our own brand, we were so used to what we were doing that it came quite naturally. So it didn't take, apart from the actual brand and agreeing on the name and how it was going to look, which was obviously extremely important to us, and getting that right was probably harder than the actual product because we had to agree on that. So, yeah.
You come from quite an entrepreneurial family, I think, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes. We're four girls and there's a sister in between the two of us who also runs, well, has, I think, three of her own businesses now. And incidentally, has actually been working with us for the last 4 or 5 years and is actually taking on an even more active role moving forward. Wow. And our younger sister works with her. So we all work in our own businesses or for each other.
Absolutely,
yeah. But our parents aren't entrepreneurial at all. So complete opposite. Yeah. So I don't know where it came from.
Really? That's really interesting. So what did your parents do? Or what do they do?
So our dad was a teacher and he had four children. So he had to move on from that because he
didn't pay the bills.
So he ended up in HR, which is kind of, it's not teaching, but he's a people person, our dad. Yeah. So he ended up being an HR director for a really big international company. Mm-hmm. So he became embedded into a world that didn't particularly suit him, but because he was on the HR side of things. We didn't really see dad because he was working really hard when we were growing up, especially after he left being a teacher. So, but I wouldn't say entrepreneur, it was any way that I would describe our dad or our mum.
No. And mum was obviously busy bringing up four kids and doing whatever sort of bits and bobs jobs she could find in between those she had a spare moment of time. But yeah, they definitely very different to us.
But also very supportive and very encouraging. So they basically let us decide our way and do what we wanted to do. So yeah, I don't know where it came from that we decided to run businesses. And yeah, anyway, here we are.
And were you always close as kids growing up?
Um, No. Well, Molly and I, there's, although you wouldn't know it, of course, there's quite a big age gap. So there's nearly seven years between the two of us. So by the time, you know, when I was small, Molly was sort of off with her friends being a teenager. Mm. And then by the time I got to being a teenager, Molly had left home. So we didn't actually, although we grew up in the same house when we were small, we didn't really sort of grow up together together. I was closer in age to the other two sisters, one of which I loved and one of which I hated. But we all love each other now.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, how your relationship as adults can be so different to your relationship as kids?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when Harriet came along, and then not that soon after, but number four, I was off doing my own thing. And they were just an annoyance. Having this small baby and, you know, so yeah, we didn't really... Harriet came to live with me when, how old?
18.
18. So I would have been in my mid-20s. But again, we didn't really see each other that much because we had different social lives and came and went. So,
yeah. I think of all of us, we've always got on. Yeah, we've never not got on like some of the others we've not gone with. But we've always had a good sisterly relationship.
Yeah.
She's definitely the eldest.
I don't think you ever stop being the older sister, do you?
No, well, you never do.
As we say, though, within the business, I think it's changed. It has changed. Harriet's much cleverer than I am. So,
Different things.
Yeah, I'm definitely a designer. I'm a creative person through and through. I'm not methodical. I don't like spreadsheets. I'm very sort of 100 miles an hour coming up with ideas. Harriet's much more methodical and much better at planning things. I always joke that if I didn't have Harriet, then I would just have loads of nice bed linen and didn't know what to do with it. So, but I think our relationship has changed and I respect her because within the business, you know, I know that I would make some silly decisions. Harriet's much more sensible than I am. So it works well. But we always say that Molly is the elder and Harriet is in charge, and that's definitely how it is.
Sometimes.
Apart from when she disagrees,
exactly.
And tell me, how does your business relationship affect your sisterly relationship? Or like, how do you divide them? What's your kind of approach there?
Well, I actually think if you're going to go into business with somebody, it's better to do it with somebody that you're blood related to. Because if things don't go well and you have difficult decisions to make or you disagree on something, you can disagree. You know, we've had moments where we've screamed and shouted at each other, had a little cry, had a little hug, and then gone, oh, do you know what? Let's just get on with it. But I think if you work with somebody that is even, you know, a really good friend, then, you know, you don't always say everything you really think, or you might go home and have a little mutter under your breath. But with us, we can always clear the air. We don't always agree, but we can always clear the air. We can agree to disagree on things and respect each other's opinion. And at the end of the day, we'll still buy each other a Christmas present, mostly.
Yeah, I think that it's difficult at times, and there's naturally been a separation. We spent Christmas together this year. There's absolutely no talk of work at all at Christmas. Okay. But yeah, as Harriet said, you can get it out in the open and you don't have to take it home with you if there are any issues. But it's all about respect at the end of the day. And I think we both respect each other. We're never going to agree on everything because we're human beings. We're just not. We are completely different. So it's just making sure that you respect each other. And I think it comes down to experience as well. I think if we'd have done this 20 years ago, it would have been much worse. But I think we're both old enough now to know that it's not personal. We've both got opinions. And
we're passionate.
We are really passionate. But also, I think we've done really well because it could have been very different. And I've heard lots of stories about people that it didn't work out so well, friends and sisters and, you know, family feuds. You know, we know about many famous ones where things have gone wrong. So I think we've done well. But I think, you know, sometimes you have to have a word with yourself and say, do you know what, this isn't worth it. Just let that go, or et cetera. But I think we've done quite well.
Yeah. Molly actually stays at my house once a week. But we are pretty strict not to talk about work on that evening.
I have dinner to cook.
Yeah, she has to cook for the rest of the family. And yeah, we leave work at the door and it's just family time.
That's good. Yeah, it sounds like you've got really clear boundaries of that kind of thing. So can you tell me, what did you want to achieve with the business when you first set out?
I think one of the main things that we wanted to achieve was a solution for customers to make buying bedding and bed linen easier, more straightforward, give customers choice at a good and honest price. And I think that's what we set out to do. It was 10 years ago now, so the marketplace did look very different then. And we were doing something a bit different from everybody else. And our first things that we decided to do was think about fitted sheets and talk about pattern and talk about how we could do things differently. The business has definitely evolved from those days. But yeah, it was to create a stylish solution for people to dress their beds beautifully, have great quality, understand where things came from, have a face to the business, and just make a buying experience that was good for our customers.
I think the customer first mentality has always been really, really important for us. And it's very difficult a lot of the time with internet businesses. You know, we set out from the beginning, we will not be a business that doesn't put their phone number on their website. We will be contactable, we will be helpful. And you know, I think we've definitely achieved that. We've got an amazing customer service team who we're very proud of, with somebody heading it up who's actually been with us since the first year.
Yeah.
9 years she's been with us, 10 years nearly.
Yeah.
And she heads up that team and she just gets it. She's just got our Secret Linen Store blood in her veins and she knows exactly, you know, how to deal with the customer and how to, you know, make a customer feel good. And that's, yeah, she's a real credit to us. We're very lucky.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. And how do you help the customer to find that product that's right for them?
There's lots of different ways. We spend a lot of time looking at our website and the customer journey through that, making sure that it's clear. We've got lots of information on our website. We've got sizing information. We talk about
samples.
Thread count. We send samples. Mm. And as Harriet just said, we are contactable. And I think that's something that is really, really important. So we talk, we shout about, you know, the fact that we are here, got people at the end of a phone or a live chat who can help you. And we do get a lot of people that do contact us with even just little questions like, how do I measure my curtains for my window? And we're able to help them. So I think that that's really important, that we can help our customers in that way to make the decisions. And yeah, as Harriet just said, the having a sample service, that's something that we can do, and we can help the customer to decide whether things go in their paint. We've all of our customer service team have all the paint samples from every single paint manufacturer setting up their desks. So they're able to, on the phone, you know, help people to match the bed linen. And that's what people want. So
Yeah, for sure. I'm really glad you brought up the samples, actually, because I wanted to kind of touch on that, because it's quite unusual for a business like you to do samples. You know, why did you start doing that?
Initially, as an internet business, you know, we were worried that if the product is a very tactile, touchy-feely product, you know, it's quite a thing to decide to sleep in something that you've never touched before. We started with samples right in the very beginning, didn't we? Yes, I think, because, you know, we wanted to make sure, A, for colour, and to help people, you know, match the colours in, to make sure we didn't get a huge amount of returns. So yeah, it seemed like a no-brainer. We were able to sort of get these little swatches. We thought it's also a beautiful part of the experience to receive a lovely pack in the post with some lovely samples and a little message in there. So yeah, just, I don't know, I don't think we ever didn't think about doing it. It just was there from the day one. Yeah,
I can remember having them in my, we didn't share an office together initially. We still don't. I'm living in different parts of the country, but I had the samples in my office and I can remember having to pick and pack like two or three at the very, very beginning when it was just the two of us. Mm. So yeah, it was from day one, the sample service.
Yeah, it's a really, really, really good idea, because I think, you know, with samples, you think, oh, maybe paint, you know, kind of, you know, that kind of stuff is a sample thing. But you are right. It really cuts down your returns, which is just, you know, gets rid of a massive headache for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Are there any kind of little innovations like that that you've done that you're really proud of, or you think that have worked really well for you?
Oh, gosh, there's probably millions. It's when you have to actually think about things and remember things, it's harder to think. I mean, we've done lots of things in the last couple of years from a sort of sustainability perspective, and the changes that we've been able to make to try and make things greener, just tiny little things like, you know, making things just a tiny bit smaller to avoid wastage on a certain pattern, or changing buttons, changing packaging, lots of those sort of little things that have happened organically. I'm trying to think of anything else that's sort of specifically innovative other than, you know, better fabrics and sustainable materials that we've done.
Maybe something that was part of becoming the B Corp certified, because I think you're still working on that.
Yeah,
don't you?
Well, yeah, you say that, but actually, one of the things we're really proud of is the fact that when we went to do our B Corp application, it was almost like we'd built our business for it. Like we didn't really have to change anything, which was incredible.
Yeah.
We didn't really have to change anything, did we? We had to write a lot of policies. We had to sort of document a lot of things that were already pretty much happening in our business. But it was a great sense of achievement and a real, you know, felt like a pat on the back for us to then go through that process, not really knowing anything about it, and realizing that actually within the DNA of the way that we've set up our business and our values and our people, that actually we pretty much were ticking all the boxes already.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that we've done from very early on in our business is actually treat it like a much bigger business. Mm. And a lot of the things that we've done over the years, I think quite a few people are surprised at how we approach some of, especially things like HR. Even, you know, when we were a much smaller team, we've behaved like a much bigger team because we've always, that's always been really important to us. It was a reasonably straightforward process. There was nothing in there that we had to do completely differently or change anything drastically that we were doing because we were doing what we needed to do.
Yeah.
Mm. And your factories are in Portugal, is that right?
Yes.
So why did you choose Portugal?
So as I said at the beginning, I've been working in Portugal for many, many years, and I have also worked all around the world making textiles. But for us, it was really important that we were hands-on, as in we can visit frequently. It is, I think, the world's best place for making bed linen. We are an area that is famous for bed linen with some great factories, and the relationships that I have built over the last 30 years are the reason that we're here today. We wouldn't be anything without our factories and our suppliers and our relationships in Portugal. So I firmly believe that we've built a business based on relationships and good quality and product. And I think that's really important. Having worked in big retailers, I was very keen that when we started our business, that we would behave differently. So we don't beat up our suppliers on price. We work with them. We come to solutions. We don't make unreasonable demands. We don't shop around for different products. We concentrate on making sure that we use the right factory for the right thing. You know, that, yeah, I think is really important, and how we've grown. And we've got a group of people that develop product. We call them our factory friends. We're very keen that we work together with the factories, and that they're, as I said, just wouldn't be anything without them. So it's really important.
Yeah. And, you know, even before sustainability was as big as it was, you know, we always knew we didn't want to be shipping things all across the world. We wanted to be as close to home as possible. And, you know, sadly, manufacturing of textiles in the UK is not what it used to be. So it felt like the closest place that we could work and produce stuff without having to venture too far afield and ship things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Around the planet.
Absolutely. And that's not to say that we're not still trying to improve that process. And we've got a few projects where we're looking at making things even more sustainable than they currently are. But in terms of moving production from Portugal, there are no plans to do that. It's definitely the right place to be doing it. So,
and they do the best. The pastel de nata is just the best pudding you can possibly get. So happy to have
that's
those
the
every
main
time.
Reason.
Yeah, I mean, if you had just said that, I would have believed you. Yeah. And even from looking through your website, kind of touching back on what you kind of said about the ethos of the brand, you know, making it a good place to work, you know, and all that, it really jumps out at me on the website that, you know, everyone should work somewhere where they enjoy being and where they feel valued. So I wonder, could you tell me a little bit about how you manage your team and how you create that kind of environment within the brand, in the small brand? Because I think that is really, really interesting.
So as Molly said, you know, we definitely invested heavily in HR from the beginning. I think it's really hard, isn't it, when you sort of need, you always need to ask our staff what they would say. But I think from our perspective and the feedback we get, there's definitely, you know, people say it's a very family culture. It's that we're all quite close. Everybody's quite friendly. We have lots of social things that we do together. We are, I think, 88% female.
Wow.
Which is, well, we quite like it, which I think makes a difference as well. I shouldn't probably say that. That might be a bit of a sexist thing to say, but I think in terms of organising things and, you know, that common bond is very, very good. I think we listen. We take feedback. We have a very open door policy. Molly and I sit in the same room as everyone else at the same desks. We don't shut ourselves away in an office. We make sure, you know, that we're emptying the compost bin and we roll our sleeves up and we get involved in everything that needs to be done and encourage everybody else to as well. And I think that, yeah, there is very much a vibe of people will go out of their way to support each other and help each other. And I feel like a bit of a fraud if I say that we feel entirely responsible for that. I think it's also sort of happened organically just from the great team that we've managed to employ and everybody's attitude to work. We have some really clear values within the business, and we, you know, not measure people on those values, but we look at all of our team and we think about, you know, whether they are demonstrating our values. We interview based on those values. We want to make sure we get the right people in the team. So I think it's a combination of the right people, a good HR program, you know, led by somebody that's really for the people all the time, which is fantastic and really balances that, you know, that hard work with gratitude and, you know, we big people up. kudos prizes. There's a lot of congratulations to everybody for working so hard. And it's not for everybody working in a business that's growing quickly and is fast paced. So I think, you know, just recognizing each other, recognizing, you know, the hard work that everybody puts in and making sure that we always say thank you, I think is, yeah,
absolutely,
is,
yeah,
the main thing.
I also think that trust comes, yeah, into it. We leave our staff to get on with things. We do manage them. We do have a management system in place, but we let them work from home 2 days a week, which is working for us at the moment. And that's obviously post-COVID. It's always a challenge and we have to make sure and step back and be clear on what we're asking of people and make sure that we're clear in directions and we're constantly talking about how we can improve. But I think it's really important to communicate to your team and just make sure that they feel like we are all
doing it together
for everybody to understand where we're all going and where we're trying to get to. So we try and do.
Yeah, we've got our quarterly update tomorrow, actually. Yeah. We're going to have pizza, yeah, and get everybody together.
good stuff. And tell me, because I know that your charity engagement and your charity initiatives are important to you as well. So can you tell me a little bit about the initiatives you're running? Why did you choose to work with those organisations? And what are you proud of having done?
So we have decided that we've always been a charitable business, but in the last couple of years, we made a bit more of a pledge to support different charities. We wanted to support a bigger charity and also a very local charity. So we chose Choose Love as our bigger charity to support. We think that what they're doing is absolutely incredible and supports it, especially at the moment, obviously with what's happened in Turkey and Syria. But because we make beds, it kind of felt right that we work with a charity that supports people that don't have one. And so they are looking after displaced people globally. And again, we didn't want to focus on any particular area or any particular country. So by working with them, we are supporting anyone that has lost their home or their livelihood because of a war or natural disaster. So that felt right. So with them, we actually have given them a sizable amount of money over the last 2 years. And at the moment, we have a product that 100% of the profits, all three products actually, 100% of the profits go to them. So we're working quite closely with them. We've been involved with them. We know them. We're working with them. We've had a great photo shoot with them. And we've done a few smaller campaigns with them, like a little sample sale. We did something specifically for Ukraine a year ago. So yeah, and we did for our Black Friday event that we had the year before last, we gave them a percentage of our profits from that. So we've worked for many years now and will continue to do so. Mm. The other one is a bit more random.
Yeah.
But, I love seaweed. I always have. From quite a few reasons, we grew up by the sea. Going down to the beach with our grandma after school, and I just remember the seaweed, and I've always loved it. And I thought when we started our sustainability journey, everyone's talking about planting trees, and I decided that seaweed should be where we focus our attention. So we found a local chap. His name is Steve, so we call him Seabed Steve.
Yeah.
And he is single-handedly regenerating the coastline between Selsey and Brighton by growing sea kelp in his garage in fish tanks and then rewilding it back into the sea once it's big enough.
Yeah.
So we've been working with him, very, very different to Choose Love, just this guy and his car. He even goes to the seaside every evening to fill up cans of seawater so he can feed his seaweed in his garage. And we love that. So again, we give a percentage of sales of products which are called Selsey in Brighton to him, and he's coming in next week,
yeah,
to chat to our staff about what he's doing. So we're supporting him and helping him to invest in things like, he did a camcorder so he could video himself doing the planting the seaweed. So very, very different charity to support, but it feels like it's a great thing to do, and there are so many benefits to the seabed being regenerated, not just for the environment, but for all the sea life as well. We also have in-house, we're just about to launch our volunteering program within our team, and our staff will be able to use 3 days a year to go out into the world and volunteer. And we're hoping that we might be able to give Steve some support for some of his project with time as well as financially. So yeah, it feels good to be doing something locally and something that we can actually see something going on. So there are two charities, very, very different, but both feel like they fit with what we're doing.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love the seaweed one. I mean, it's something so different, but it's great.
The other thing that we've been looking at is using seaweed to dye fabric as well. So we haven't quite got there yet, but we're looking at natural dyeing and how we can use that within our product range as well. So hopefully one day we'll have a seaweed dyed bed linen. That's my dream.
You heard it here first.
And so aside from Seaweed Dye, what are you most excited for the future of the brand? What does the next couple of years look like for you?
From my perspective, we definitely have ambitious growth plans, but we want to make sure that everything that we're doing is focused around our mantra of making things better. So I'm very excited about the things we can continue to do in terms of fabrics, dyeing, innovation, anything that is going to make our business more planet friendly. And the excitement that we get from the team as part of that, we're very lucky that most people that we've employed, because they share our values and our passion for the things that we want to do well, they're all very excitable about doing things better and doing things greener. And particularly in the product department, we've got some real talent in there, and you know, people who are doing things themselves at home and then coming to work with their ideas of just the small things that we can do and win and change. And it isn't, you know, we are a small business, don't have a huge amount of budget for those kind of things, but there's still so much that we can do, just chipping away little bit by little bit. And I think that's what I'm most excited about, because that's the thing that makes me feel proud of what we've done. You know, we're selling bed linen into people. It is a need, and everybody wants to feel great and amazing when they get into bed. But, you know, ultimately, Molly and I are also, you know, passionate about the impact that our business has on the wider planet. So I think for me, that's probably what I'm most excited about, and just sort of sharing that journey.
Yeah, absolutely. The same for me, that some of the projects that we've got that are ongoing that are not going to make a difference to the turnover of the business are the ones that are most exciting. We've just made napkins out of our waste product from our curtains. And that's one of my big ticks, that we've actually used the waste. So we're looking at things from a different angle, making sure that we don't leave behind, you know, pots of fabric that could have an end use. So napkins don't necessarily fit with our bedroom brand, but why not? We will have breakfast in bed sometimes. So they're a breakfast napkin, but we're working with some people that will hopefully help us further using our scrap to make beautiful craft and one-off pieces, and looking at how we can use that in the factory. So that's really exciting. And as we said before about dyeing and natural dyeing, that is still a challenge commercially, to find a way that we can dye and bulk fabric. There's lots of people at the moment that are making very exciting colours from natural products, but we are on the hunt for the right partner to work with us in commercial dyeing, and then hopefully shipping to the UK in the most sustainable way that we possibly can, so we can have a product that's carbon footprint is very, very, very low, and make sure that we've got that offer for our customers, because we feel like that's an important thing to do.
Absolutely. That's brilliant. And finally, my most important question, I think, for both of you: Clean Sheet Friday or Clean Sheet Sunday?
Sunday. Friday. We don't agree, and we never have, which is quite a good thing. For me, Harriet, that is, it's a Sunday thing. It is getting myself ready for the week ahead. Clean Sheet Sunday. I know it's going to be my best night of sleep of the week, because Clean Sheet night is always, I don't think anybody could argue that when you put clean sheets on, you sleep better than you ever do any other time. So for me, it's Sunday night, being refreshed and ready to face the week on a Monday morning.
Yeah. And for me, it's Friday, because Saturday morning for me is such a wonderful experience to not have to get up, although I do always get up really early. So Friday for me. But I have a confession to make.
Have you changed it?
No, I haven't changed it, but I now only wash my sheets once a fortnight.
Yes.
We've been doing lots of investigation, and we actually had a survey about washing, and we've obviously been doing some investigation into washing and how good it is for the environment. And we all know that it's very, very energy intensive. So we have moved. I've been a every week bed linen washer for the last 25 years. So it's okay. I'm okay with it. I am away a couple of nights a week as well, so it's obviously easier for me to justify it. But yeah, I think it's important that we think about what we're doing. And it is actually quite nice to not have to wash it every week.
It is. It is. There is a calculator on our website, on our blog, which anybody can use. And there's some questions, slightly personal questions in some instances, but it will give you some advice on how often you really do need to wash your sheets. And yeah, it's a revelation.
Yeah.
I used to be a weekly washer, and now I'm not, and I don't feel guilty about it now. That's good.
Okay, brilliant. Well, listen, we'll leave it there. And anyone listening, go check out the calculator and figure out if you actually do need to change it once a week. Yeah. Okay, listen, thank you both so much. I've really, really enjoyed chatting to you. And yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Really lovely to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
You too. That was Harriet Mears and Molly Freshwater from the Secret Linen Store. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Industry Leaders Podcast. And don't forget that you can catch up on all our previous episodes wherever you get your podcasts. That's it for now. So from me and the team at More2, take care and bye-bye.